Well, good evening. Thank you very much for having me this evening. It's a great pleasure to be able to share it with you. Shall we pray as we start? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm, and we pray that you will speak to us through it. Please help us to understand it this evening, and I pray that you will bless us through it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What amazing verses these are. And I don't know if it's the older I get, or the wiser, maybe, or perhaps it's the more humble I become, the more I appreciate and realise and understand the depth of my sinfulness. And that's not because I consider myself the worst, most wicked of sinners among you all tonight, but because I just realise that how deep sinfulness becomes. And the more we understand that, the more we understand how much sin has affected us, our entire life, the more verses like this should mean to us. And in fact, if these verses that I've just read to you, if they don't move us, then we have to ask ourselves, do we really understand what sin is and has done? And more importantly, what Christ has done for us? So we're going to be thinking about this psalm this evening, and I'll try and cover the whole psalm if I can, but these first couple of verses really mean so much to me, and it's kind of hard for me to talk about it without spending a long time on that, but we'll see how we go. So in these first three verses, in these first two verses, we have three words for sin. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. And we can get into the Hebrew, if you like, but these are different words for sin. They mean slightly different things. Transgression is kind of a rebellion against God. And iniquity is a twisting. The word wicked means twisted. It's the same root word where we get the word wicker basket or wicker furniture. It's that twisting, you know, on a wicker basket, you see the twisting of the reeds together. It's a twisted, twistedness isn't a word, but you know what I mean. So there are different words for sin here. And David in his poetry is using these different words. And like I say, they do have specific meanings, but perhaps it just represents to us all sin in all of its forms. Sin covers it. It's in every aspect that it is. So three words for sin. But then David talks about three responses from God, three reactions or even actions from God. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. And that word counts no there is could be translated as impute, who imputes no iniquity. Impute is an accounting term, which we'll talk about in a minute. So firstly, forgiven. God forgives our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? What does forgiveness actually mean, though? I've tried to define it in ways over time, and it's not necessarily the easiest thing to define, but the best I can come up with is when we forgive one another, essentially we're letting it go. That wrong that we did, that hurt that we caused, we're letting it go, and we're saying, I choose to let that go. But some will say that the gospel is this, that God forgives sins. But that is not the gospel, and I'll explain why it isn't in a minute. God doesn't just let sins go. Sins have to be dealt with. So forgiveness is one thing, and it's the letting go of sin, the pardoning of sin. The second is whose sin is covered. God covers our sins. When I was a young lad and I was asked to tidy my room, I sometimes tidied it, but sometimes I just covered up the mess. I hid the mess. I put the mess under the bed or under the rug or in the cupboard or wherever else I could put it. So I said not to do it. But when God covers sins, his covenant is putting it out of his mind. Psalm 103 says that God removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west, that he remembers our sin no more. And that's not because God forgets, for how can a sovereign God ever forget anything? But he chooses not to remember. He chooses not to have that in his mind. So he forgives and he covers our sin. And he covers it in the blood of Christ. And we'll cover that in a minute. Thirdly, against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, imputes no iniquity. As I say, that word impute is an accounting term. In an account, when I don't know if anyone does any books for any reason, or if there are any accountants here tonight, but you have to put certain things in certain accounts, don't you? So imagine this. So you go shopping. When you go shopping, you take your goods to the checkout, you get out a little plastic card and you go beep, and you walk out with the goods. And no one chases you. Why not? Because you've paid, quote unquote, with your credit card. But you haven't given over any money. The shop hasn't got any money because of those goods. What's happened is those goods have been imputed to your credit card, to your account. And sure enough, later in the month, you'll get a bill from your credit card company saying, this is what you've spent, this is what that you owe. So when I said that the gospel is not God forgives our sins, because for God to just forgive our sins is effectively God saying, don't worry about that sin, it doesn't matter, we'll just ignore it. And that's not the gospel at all. A just God can't look on sin and say, that doesn't matter, let's just ignore that, let's forget about that. A just God can't do that. Sin has to be dealt with. So the sin that is on our account, the sin that our bill is being imputed somewhere else. It's been taken off of us and put somewhere else. And where is that somewhere else? It's on Jesus. It's on Jesus Christ at the cross. So our sins are not imputed against us. They're imputed against him. So sin has been dealt with, it has been paid for, and God can forgive us because of Christ's work at the cross. Because Jesus paid the full price for every one of us. Every sin is dealt with. So three words for sin, three responses from God. David goes on to say, when I was silent, it was when I was aware of sin in my life, but didn't speak it out, but didn't do anything with it. It filled up inside me. It built up inside me. And I like to imagine it like a pressure. There's pressure inside of us, building and building, like a pressure cooker. A friend of mine, he has some apple trees in his garden, and he wanted to make some cider. So because I've done a bit of that sort of thing in the past, he asked me about how to do it. So I explained, you press the apples and you do all this kind of stuff. And a few days later, he came back to me and he said, I've done it all. I've got all the apples. I've juiced them. I've made all the cider. I've put the yeast in. I've put it in this nice big jar and I've sealed it up nice and tight. And I've put it in somewhere warm so it ferments. And I can't wait. And I said, whoa. You sealed it up really tight. Yeah, he said, yeah. I've put a nice lid on. It's a nice jar, proper lid on. And I said, whoa. You've got to get home as soon as possible and take the lid off that jar. Because what he didn't realise is that when the yeast is eating up all the sugars in the apple juice, it's also giving out, as well as alcohol, carbon dioxide gas. So the pressure inside that jar was building and building. When he got home, he took the lid off and whoosh, it hit the ceiling. It shot out the window. It was all over the place. He had quite a mess to clean up. And I'm not sure his wife was entirely happy about it. But unconfessed sin in our heart that we won't dare confess or address, is like that, building up inside of us, pressure. And David describes this dryness of it, of his spirit, of his body even, physically affecting him. So three words for sin, three responses from God, and three things David tells us that he did to deal with that sin. Firstly, I acknowledged my sin, he said. I admitted my sin. And acknowledge is simply to say, I did it. It was me. It was me. I did it. He said, I did not cover my sin. And this is different to the coverage we talked about a moment ago when God covers our sin. When God covers our sin, he covers it with the blood of Jesus. It's dealt with by him. And it can be dealt with. When we try and cover it, our covering of it is inadequate. Effectively, it's saying, when I tried to hide my sin from others and from God, it just filled me up. It built up that pressure, as we talk about. So I uncovered it before God. Have you ever had any experience with some young children? My young children, and if they ever get caught doing something wrong, often they'll try to lie their way out of it. Have you ever noticed that with little children? You know, you find a big mess or something, a big spillage. Who did this? No, I don't know. No one knows. It's a mystery what happened. But a lie to cover a sin leads to another lie and another lie and a web of lies. And before you know it, there's a whole mess of lies. And it's more work to cover that sin than probably the sin itself was. So David acknowledged his sin. He uncovered it before God. And he confessed his sin. I will confess my sin to the Lord. Confess simply means to say the same as. I choose to say the same as God about this sin, which is, it is wrong, it is rebellion, it is not good, and I should not have done it. So he acknowledged, he uncovered his sin before God, and he confessed it to him. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This psalm is really about two things. It's about confession. It's about having a repentant heart, recognising our sin and confessing it to the Lord. But the second part is we can rejoice in God's response to that. When we do that, when we come to the cross, when we come to Christ and receive his forgiveness, that is something to be joyful about. While sin itself is horrendous and terrible, and it should make us feel bad, the response and reaction of God, his grace and mercy, is something to be to rejoice about. So David, verse 6, says, therefore let the godly cry out to God in a time when he may be found. And when I read that stuck out to me. In a time when he may be found, in a time when God may be found, maybe there's a time he won't be found. Maybe that suggests to us there is a time limit. Not because God will, you know, run out of patience and just say no more, but perhaps because none of us know how long we've got. None of us know when our time is up. So do it now, he encourages us. Don't wait. Do it now. Come to God now. Confess your sins now while you can. David goes on, I'm running out of time, but David goes on to talk about how don't be like the horse or the mule. Listen to my instruction. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Follow my advice. Come to the Lord. Confess and rejoice. And I'll close with this. One of the last things in the Psalms is, many are the sorrows of the wicked. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. And that stood out to me again because David compares the wicked to those who trust in the Lord. Is that unusual? Wouldn't the wicked be compared with the good? But actually the Bible teaches us that there is no one good except God. And you and I, and no matter how good or bad we think we are, we're not good enough for God. People think that, you know, if we live good lives, we'll somehow overcome the sinfulness of our hearts. But the Bible says that the human heart is wicked above all things. We need Christ. We need his forgiveness. We need his saving work at the cross. So the wicked are compared with those who trust in God, not because those who trust in God aren't wicked. They know they're wicked. That's why they need to trust in the Lord. And you and I, we're not any better than anyone else in the world. But our trust isn't in ourselves, it isn't in our good works. Our trust is in Jesus Christ. I'm out of time, but I hope that's encouraged you. So take away tonight the chance to repent, to confess your sin to God, and rejoice as David closes his psalm, as we will tonight, rejoicing. Rejoice, be glad, for we are forgiven and redeemed. In the name of Jesus, amen.